So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seat, his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. I think she fancies something off the table. From that Bible, that gospel reading, "It is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives light to the world." So we're celebrating our harvest festival this morning. We're a little bit late, but it's all going to a good cause, to the food bank. A few years ago, with the harvest and things in mind, I read a piece by a writer in one of the newspapers. It was one of the broadsheets, one of the big ones, and it said that half of the world was in great physical hunger, while the other half was in deep spiritual hunger. Half in physical hunger, half in spiritual hunger. And I thought there's quite a lot of truth in that. But I'm not sure, when you think about it, that there's a great difference between physical and spiritual hunger, as that comment by that writer suggests. I do tend to cringe sometimes, although sometimes I do say it myself, when somebody says to you, "I'm starving." You know, how many times do you hear somebody actually say to you, "I'm starving"? Do they really know what starving is? Usually what they mean, that they're a bit peckish, like I am at the moment. But, you know, they're not actually starving, are they? Generally, we live in a very well-fed country, and I say generally, in a very well-fed country. And our expectations are that food is readily available whenever we want it. We're in that sort of age, aren't we, of immediacy. What is it, you know, grab it and go, that sort of thing. Good to go. Sometimes, though, I do wonder when we get one of those knocks on our door at home, because we live very near to a church and they know there's a priest living there, and we start to make a sandwich for another rough sleeper on our doorstep. You know, is food readily available? But in our country, eating as a leisure activity features very much, doesn't it, as well? We go out for a meal. Eating is part of our social life. It's quite high up in our culture. Indeed, we do often find very slight that discipline of fasting, like at Lent, is something quite difficult. I've very rarely managed to fast properly during Lent. I know myself, for years I tried to give up potatoes in Lent. You know, a lot of people say I'm not going to drink wine or anything during Lent. I'm just looking at Steve now because he knows me well. You know, I find it quite difficult giving wine up during Lent. But another one it's very difficult is potatoes. You know, because you put potatoes in so many things, don't you? And then you realise, you know, if you go into the pub for a drink, you can't have a packet of crisps. And then suddenly you can't have shepherd's pie. And because, you know, so it's very difficult giving things up and having that discipline. And it can become quite a burden. And I started to pine after a few days of Lent when I've given potatoes up. My spirits are lifted sometimes by consolation food. I've got a friend who often says, I'm going for comfort food on bad days. And I can recall a quote from one of my favourite comedians, Frank Skinner. I can remember him once saying, I like, because he's a Christian, I don't know if you're aware that Frank Skinner on the telly does profess his Christian faith. But he says, I like a religion which makes me think when I go to the fridge. Now think about that one. I like a religion that makes me think when I go to the fridge. Do you really need to raid the fridge? Food and eating is an emotional subject if you think about it. If we're deprived of the opportunity to eat, our emotions are the first things to react. Stories from situations of real hunger are often quite shocking. And we see those images, don't we, on the TV sometimes, and often we turn away because they show how quickly people can lose their high ideals and their normal civilized behavior. Some years ago, I was absolutely enthralled by the series that Michael Palin did on the TV. You've probably seen some of his travel programs and things. And one of them he was doing was called New Europe, 15 or 20 years ago. And we started to follow him. We bought the book and we started to follow Michael Palin, his travels around Europe and going to the same places that he did. And we were doing some of the old Iron Curtain countries. And one of the places we visited was Poland, and we went to Auschwitz and Buchenwald, the two of Hitler's death camps in Poland. And one of their famous survivors, we learnt while we were there, was a political author called Eli Weissel. And he describes the extent of his hunger while he was a captive there, and the way that it brought his morality down, that hunger. So far does the level of degradation meted out to prisoners in those concentration camps, that when his father died, and that was only just months before it was liberated, all Weissel could think about was getting his father's ration of bread after his father had died. You know, that is starvation, isn't it? And this memory haunted him for the rest of his life. If you go on the other hand, our emotions are adept at dictating our appetites sometimes, aren't they? In times of emotional turmoil, there's that handy trick of comfort eating that I referred to earlier on. For many people, it's a bar of chocolate, isn't it? You know, you're feeling a bit low and you go and have a look in the cupboard and there's a bar of chocolate. That makes you feel better. For me, it's usually a good curry or something. But comfort eating helps you, doesn't it? But there's much more agonizing and of despair when people lose the desire to eat. You know, they don't want to eat. They lose the desire. It doesn't matter that the body is weakened and drained, because the emotional pain being experienced by that person overwhelms the other considerations. Is it any wonder then that the Lord's most intimate encounter with us is in the act of eating and drinking? eating and drinking is so important to us, that the Lord encounters us in an act of eating and drinking. In the Eucharist, in the communion that we're celebrating this morning, we are being fed physically in order that our spirit may be nourished. As the Lord is providing us with the food that we need in order to journey with him. So this is our food for the journey. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples when they said, show us the sign, what are we to do? The deep mystery is that this food, the food that we have in the Eucharist, is not just physical food, but it's food for the spirit as well. Because it's the Lord feeding us with himself. This is real food which nourishes the body and the soul. The hunger that we feel at the center of our beings is the hunger that the Lord himself gives us. We hunger for more of him, don't we? What we must remember is that this food never runs out. Jesus will never run out. This food is always available to us. What is, think of this, is our hunger for the food of Jesus ever satisfied? When I was younger, yes, I was younger once, and I went on holiday with my parents, it was invariably to Wales, and often included a Sunday evening concert by a Welsh male voice choir. Usually it was in the big Methodist church in Llandudno. I'm looking at Susie, I think she's probably been there as well. She's nodding at me. Think of that lovely Welsh hymn. I can always remember it, that they used to sing with the chorus. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And now I'm looking at my friend at the back who could probably sing it. He's having a good smile. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And yet here, at communion, at the Eucharist, it's just the opposite, isn't it? When we are fed, we do want more. We want more of Jesus. It could even be said that we are fed so that we may hunger even more. But we are hungering for Jesus. It's rather like that young Oliver Twist. We heard a bit of the song earlier on. Oliver said, please, sir, may I have more? And that's what we say to Jesus, isn't it? Every time we come to take communion. Amen.